This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
This track is dedicated to the brothers and sisters that stood around me and occupy everything, everywhere. You know, I know a lot of people, and I talk to a lot of people, and I listen to a lot of people, and a lot of people are saying a lot of things. They're talking about the economy, complaining about the president, screaming about the environment, telling everyone what they're doing is wrong, but they don't get up and do something about it. Get up and sing. Who's to say that there's nothing left of energy and hearts pressed against the chest to contest and dream to be anything, but you must stand
up. Let's go occupy Wall Street.
While big city mayors and police are engaged in advanced stages of trying to remove Occupy protesters from their public spaces, Nanaimo representatives of the Occupy movement have been meeting with the mayor and RCMP to discuss issues of concern from both sides. Matthew O'Donnell told the Nanaimo Daily News that concerns expressed by the city will be discussed among the occupiers and that another meeting is planned for next week. Up to 30 people are participating in the Occupy Nanaimo protest, and some of them recently stated that their resolve to continue the protest has not changed, despite stormy weather and a shortage of food. We're joined in the studio by Occupy Nanaimo participants John Lyon and Ryan Porches.
Welcome to People First Radio, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
You've experienced harsh weather recently, and your representatives have also been in discussions with the mayor and RCMP, as we mentioned. What is the situation at Occupy Nanaimo at the moment? Maybe Ryan, we'll start with you.
Things are hopeful, definitely. We did speak to the mayor the other day, and the tone of the meeting was very respectful in nature. We are both sides, the city, Occupy, and the RCMP, are absolutely willing to cooperate to reach a resolution. Nobody really wants to step on anybody's toes just yet. As for the weather, it got a little windy there last week. Camp was a little leveled, but it didn't take very long for us to put it back up. And I can tell you, it's not going to be the weather that's going to drive us over there.
John, what are the concerns, if you know them, what are the concerns of the mayor and the RCMP? What have they said to the group?
They haven't been too specific with their concerns. It's been more more of a general, you know, they don't want us to be camping in the square, basically. They're opposed to the idea of us using it as a campground or a squat, though they have stated the support for the right to protest and the right to free speech. Then that's been very much appreciated by everybody.
Are either of you guys actually camping, or have you experienced camping at the Diana Krall Plaza?
Yes.
What's it been like?
It's not that bad. If you get a nice warm sleeping bag and you make sure that your tent is dry, then it's not bad at all. What gets rough is when things start to get wet. Then it just gets colder from there.
Ryan, what has your experience with the protest overall been like? How has this affected you? How has it impacted you? What's it been like as a personal experience?
I've been waiting for this to happen for about 4 years. I'm only 20 years old, and I haven't known or cared about these issues for as long as many other people. But before Occupy happened, I would spend hours at night staying up researching these kind of topics online, trying to figure out how anybody can do anything about this kind of thing. And then all of a sudden, the answer just appeared in front of me in the form of Occupy Wall Street. So I've been following that, and then next thing I know, there's a global call to Occupy. So I was all over that, and it has changed me. I have learned so much about the community that I never understood before, so much about cooperation that I never knew before. I'll carry this with me for the rest of my life.
John, what are your thoughts in terms of your involvement with this, how it's affected you, and perhaps how you were drawn into this particular protest?
Well, personally, I've been involved in the activist scene for a while now, and I've been to plenty of protests and rallies and various occupations like that, but never before has there been a democratic-run group of people who are willing to work on direct change, things that we can do day-to-day to make this world a better place now and for the future. And to me, that's really inspiring. The General Assemblies have been amazing. The fact that we're running a food not bombs style free kitchen is just astounding. And the fact that so few people are actually spending time volunteering, but there's a large community support is really, really eye opening for me. That people are ready for change. The media's presentation of us as a small group of people who are concerned is not true. What I've seen is that the community at large is with us.
I read in the Nanaimo Daily News that there was a shortage of food, or food was running in short supply. Is that situation still unchanged, or has there been a change?
Well, I haven't been working with the food working group, but I have been down there, and every time there's a mealtime, it seems like food is being served. I'm not sure if it's just a few people, but I know that Compassion Farms has been donating vegetables, that volunteers have been taking raw ingredients and over to their houses and preparing the food and bringing meals down prepared. So there's no food being prepared on site right now or stored on site, but the food is being served 3 times a day.
Ryan, are there any other particular concerns that are that you have about the operation of the protest site you haven't mentioned?
Not really. We just really need to get to some kind of common ground with the city. I think that's our biggest hurdle right now. We need to be respectful to them as we would like them to respect our right to peacefully assemble. Right now, their biggest concerns are some of the people that we have sleeping in the square. For example, one of the women is 72, and she is as determined as anyone, and I nor anybody else could convince her to leave the square. Personally, while I hope that she is okay and nothing should happen to her, I find that very inspiring, that a woman of that age is so determined to be involved in change.
This is People First Radio on CHLY, across the islands and streaming online at chly.ca.
People in New York need to know that there's some support, not just somewhere, but everywhere. And it seems like there is. And the only thing I thought of that I wanted to say today was an old memory from when I was a kid that happened in Nanaimo when they occupied BC's Hill during the Solidarity Movement in the 80s. One of the things that Nanaimo did was had all the workers at the BC Tel office, because it was then a government monopoly, and just one office running the whole telephone system. They did it old-fashioned Spanish anarchist style. They took over the building that ran the telephones and continued to run the telephone system for the whole city and just stopped sending out bills. That was their only major change, was nobody got a telephone bill as long as they were in charge of the telephone building. And a completely illegal occupation, and a fine part of Nanaimo's militant heritage and militant history. Doesn't happen very often, but Nanaimo can really spring up on you. So, that's my brief history lecture, and good luck to New York and the world.
That was Michael, one of the Occupy Nanaimo participants, speaking in the early days of the protest. Nanaimo representatives of the Occupy movement have been meeting with the mayor and RCMP to discuss issues of concern from both sides. Matthew O'Donnell told the Nanaimo Daily News that concerns expressed by the city will be discussed among the occupiers and that another meeting is planned for next week. Up to 30 people are participating in the Occupy Nanaimo protest, and some of them recently stated that their resolve to continue the protest has not changed, despite stormy weather and a shortage of food, according to that article. We're joined in the studio by Occupy Nanaimo participants John and Ryan, who is responsible in part for some of the aspects of Occupy Nanaimo. Ryan, if you could clarify what it is that you do down there.
My role is not very defined, but I, on a day-to-day basis, help with maintaining the infrastructure at camp, make sure that camp is still standing, and things that we need to keep dry are dry. Also, kind of manning and operating the info tent. We have a nice tent there in the front of Dianacrol Plaza where people can approach and get information on the movement, why we're here, what we're doing, why we're not going anywhere. There's pamphlets, all kinds of written information for you to take home. Also, when I'm not doing that, I am online slaying trolls, if you will, posting new info on the website and the forums.
Remind us again why you're doing this, why you're protesting, and perhaps you could speak to the shared concerns of the protest group here in Nanaimo.
Okay. Why we're doing this, this is kind of a long-winded answer. It really needs to be done, in short. There's all kinds of social, economic, environmental, political problems throughout Canada, the United States, and the world, and I'm not going to get into specifics, but if you do a little bit of research, I'm sure it wouldn't take you very long to find some of the reasons why we're out here. Many of the reasons we're out here aren't thrown into the light very often by the media, the mainstream media. Generally, it's topics that are brushed under the rug or just not talked about. But the bottom line is that if we continue the way we are, then we're not going to have a very, very nice planet left over for our grandchildren. I don't know if my grandchildren will be able to swim in the ocean, that is.
John, what are the main concerns of the protesters that you've heard about in terms of the reasons for the protest?
Well, I've just got to make a little disclaimer first. As I've said before, it's a it's a consensus-based, non-hierarchical setup we've got there. So I can't really speak for anybody else. But speaking for myself and taking on what I've gotten to be the group attitude is that, yes, our objective is to create systemic change. The protest movement for the past 100 years or so has been tackling individuals' challenges, individual problems. And while it sometimes succeeds in making small gains for mankind, generally those gains are lost when the subject is shifted. So take, for example, global warming. It was a big cause that was widely celebrated that has now been largely ignored by the popular media and popular discourse on account of the recession and economic troubles. So we're focusing on a larger picture, which is really hard for a lot of people and a lot of the media to grasp.
And the economy tends to trump everything else, doesn't it? Ryan, we have just about half a minute left. Is there anything else you'd like to add to our conversation today?
We love seeing more people from the public come down, whether you want more information or whether you already know why you're here and you'd like to offer support. We could always use more support, whether it be through donation or by actually coming down and lending a hand. There's always something for you to do. If you need any more information, please visit our website at www.occupynanaimo.ca.
Thanks very much to both of you for taking the time to join us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
John and Ryan are participants in Occupy Nanaimo, which established its protest camp at the Dianacrol Plaza in downtown Nanaimo. You can find Occupy Nanaimo online at their Facebook page, or you can go to occupynanaimo.ca. The music you heard in this segment is from a song about Occupy Wall Street by Jay Samuel. We found it on YouTube.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.